Well, good morning. Welcome to this time of worship together. Let's start with a prayer. Oh God, you are the light in our darkness. You're the voice that calls out to us in our fears and the hand that pulls us up from our sinking. God, you're our companion in the desert and in the times when we're walking around wandering in the wilderness. We ask that you will continue to be with us. Allow us to be aware of your presence with us. And Lord, as we grieve and as we deal with our doubts and wrestle with our fears and the questions that we have about our world, about ourselves, and about you, may you calm us. May you comfort us. May you help us to know who we are in you. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being with him was life, and the life was light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
This morning's second reading comes from Matthew 14, immediately following the feeding of the multitude. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came, walking toward them on the sea, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Yeah. Matthew 4:1-11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Lord, make me a pearl. Make me a pearl, make it fast, make it quick. I haven't the time to be deliberate and thick. Come on, hurry up, I'm strange as can be right now. Do it fast, I'm telling you, please, I'm ready, I'm here. My God, you are slow, speed up, let's go. Good grief, O Lord, I want to shine, I'm ready to tell you. Make me a pearl and make it quick. My child, I tell you, you're not ready yet. My love and my peace are something to get. A coating happens through process and time. If you hurry, you won't be ready, you see. You won't be ready with just one coat. It's the middle that transforms. The middle takes time with healing and love. The middle's the place where the strange is at home. It's broken with hurt. It cries and it yells. Selfish and mean, it's not about me. I'm a living shell. I see all of you. But you get to choose. Be ready real quick, not a second to lose. But the middle will rot and hurt who it gets. Or take my time, turn you inside out, and let my love shine, precious and true. Let my love coat you, turn you into a pearl. Let my love be all that you are and feel deep inside. Now what do you choose? Be ready and quick, or turn into a gem with my love that is thick? Dear God, please take care of the taking care of us. Amen.
Come. So I'm going to put my tuition money to use and assign some homework for everyone here. And I see some of these administrators and teachers kind of squirming. But I assure you, this assignment is more of a lifelong inductive, as Dorothy Jean would likely phrase it. The assignment isn't too difficult, and there's no real due date. It's what I would call something that's lifelong, something worth taking a journey on. The assignment is this. When you get home today and you take off your shoes and put your feet up, look at your floor. Not just your floor, though. Look in your shoes as well. What you'll notice is dirt, right? But look closer. What do you notice? What do you notice about the dirt on the floors in here? There's always grains of sand. Always. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, I know Charlie doesn't think we're gullible. He's pretty funny sometimes, but we know that we have snow in the wintertime and we put sand on the roads to help melt it, so that's why we track sand in. And you're right. That's why this is a lifelong assignment. Look in the spring. Look in the summer. Look in the fall. What you'll find is that the grains of sand keep appearing. The sand is everywhere. And what I'm finding in my life is that sand is everywhere on purpose. We've heard several scriptures read this morning, and they all serve as stories. Actual events? Yes. Creative ways of describing Jesus? Absolutely. But at their core, they're stories. What stories are they? First, we have the author of John's Gospel telling us how Jesus came into the world. He came into the world as light in the midst of darkness. He embodied human flesh and dwelt among us with the assurance that this light can never be overcome by the darkness. Then we have the story of Peter stepping out of the boat amid a storm when Jesus calls him. We know the story. Peter slips and succumbs to the waves when he loses focus on Jesus. And Jesus rescues him and the other disciples in the boat. And then the storm dies out. Then we have the all too familiar temptation of Jesus, where Jesus is wandering in the desert and Satan is trying to tempt him and deter him from his walk, his journey, and his purpose. Now we know these stories. These stories are familiar. But the grains of sand that we see every day are a reminder of much more than these biblical stories. They're a reminder of our own stories. Think about it. How does this sand get into our houses and our buildings? We track it in on the bottom of our feet and shoes. That means that the sand has followed us during our journey for the day, the week, or even years if the grains get really stuck in the grooves of our shoes. What stories has the sand in your shoes experienced with you today? What stories do the grains carry in them for you now? If the sand could speak, what would it say? What joys have you experienced? What laments are you carrying? What grieving is left to do? During Lent, we focus on laments, and I think that it's important that we learn the practices of lament and grief in our lives. We have all had events in our lives that have brought us to standstills. You don't need me to stand up here and tell you what you've experienced in your life. I don't need to remind you with you what you've encountered in the past year, months, weeks, and days that have caused you to pause everything to grieve and lament. We all know our stories. We come here with experiences of loss, pain, death, uncertainty, and remorse. We hold on to our hardest stories. We grip them tightly and we shove them down into the depths of our soul, where we are convinced that the deepest pains cannot affect us. And yet they do. It always finds its way to the forefront of our minds and our lives time and time again. And like the sand on the ground, it can follow us and take up residence where we think it doesn't belong. And yet the difference between the sand on the ground and the pain we try our hardest to internalize is that the sand is out in the midst of community, and the pain we want no one to see. And that's the other function of the grains of sand. The invitation to come to Christ with things we are hurting over and entrust Him to help us heal. After all, the stories that we share today are full of such imagery. The light comes into the world to be with us, to embody our experience, to walk with us in the darkest nights of our souls. The promise is that the light will never tire, never burn out, and never relent, no matter how unrelenting the darkness seems to be. Jesus calls us out of the midst of the raging storms in our lives with the promise that He will see us through if we focus on and walk with Him. He calls us from the drowning of hurt and pain and tells us to stand above the waters that rage in our lives. He invites us to take our burdens from the inside of the boat and give them over to Him. And when it comes to the temptation story, it's always struck me personally at how early in His ministry Jesus enters the desert and is tempted by Satan. It is as if Jesus knew that even in the newness and joy of the walk, temptations to throw in the towel of our faith would arise. Jesus endured these temptations, and what we learn from Him is that ultimately, God is there. God is with us, even in the desert of trial and doubt. It seems almost perfect then that Jesus endured the temptation from Satan in the desert. The desert is a place of seemingly infinite sand and lack of life. Grains of sand as far as the eye can see, and grains of sand that no human being could ever count. But God can. And so the desert itself becomes a representation of the trials of all humankind, the stories we carry, the lives we live, the trials of life. And God knows every single grain in the desert, every single one. This invites us to our response as a community. Among my brothers and sisters here today are stories and trials waiting to be shared. There are grains of sand on the chapel floor waiting to be swept up by the Spirit and attended to by our community. In the same way God is present in and oversees the walk through the desert, and in the same way Christ stands ready to walk with us through the desert, the community is called to walk with one another and to be present in the desert. Do you remember the poem Footprints in the Sand? The main character asks Christ, why were there only one set of footprints in the sand in the midst of his own grief and lamenting. And Christ responds, "That was when I carried you." Today, we are being invited in the season of Lent to rewrite this poem by how we function as a community. A community who is confronted by the lamenting main character who asks, "Why is there only one set of footprints?" The response then becomes, "That is when we, the congregation, carried you." So the light and the grains of sand are everywhere. The raging waves of life often force us to the desert. We are constantly living and writing the next chapters of our lives and picking up grains of sand along the way. Light and sand grains and spirit-led community all become reminders of the fact that we are never alone in our walks. God is with us. Christ is with us. The Spirit is among us. And we are a community that cares for one another. Even when the darkness falls among us, even as debates and politics and conflicts rage over theological jargon and conundrums, even as the church seems to be falling apart at the seams, we're never alone. I refuse to believe that we are left, abandoned, and forgotten. I refuse to believe that anyone in this community is left to lament in silence. I refuse to believe that there is anywhere that God cannot reach, Christ cannot walk, and the Spirit cannot tend to. The invitation, then, is to pay attention to the sand around us. Don't just let it lay on the floor without being attended to. Pick the grains up, sweep them up, carry them. Trust that the darkness in our lives stands no chance in the face of the light. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are still living our stories. In this season of Lent, you invite us into times of joy and times of lament to journey this desert with you, Lord. To notice the grains of sand around us, to be there for one another, and to advance your cause on this earth of love, mercy, grace, and community. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts to see you and to feel you, and empower us to care for one another. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You are invited into a time of response, of lighting a candle to symbolize your prayer, or prayers if you want to light multiple candles. And you'll notice the sand pits up here. Put your prayers in the sand and trust that they're cared for.
Thank you.
The benediction is then to look around, to look for grains of sand, to listen for stories, to care for one another, and to trust that Christ is in control, even when the storms of life wage, and all we can see is the desert sands. Before you leave today, notice the candles on the sand. Not one is by itself. We are all community. We are all here for one another. We are empowered by the Spirit to care and nourish one another. Go in peace.